Craig Forrest is our Premier League analyst on Sportsnet. Craig Forrest joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. Craig, thanks a lot for doing this today. I want to start talking about Fulham and Wolves, because Fulham, Wolves, and Cardiff all came up. We're all promoted. I think most people look at Cardiff as really having a lot to do to stay up here, but both Fulham and Wolves are fancied by a lot of people, and Wolves in particular. Of course, they're a well-established English club. It's a famous name in English soccer. But I know, just 1 week in, they both look like they mean business this year, don't they?
They really do. Wolves is an interesting story, obviously. Sleeping giant, one of the big teams back in the day that were, top of the tree. They had some massive investment, obviously, and some great connections in the transfer market, and some dubious stuff too, that some people might think how they've dealt with it through certain agents, and built themselves a really good side, and top 10 finish would be at least their ambition. They're certainly not just trying to finish above the top three. They have more ambitions than that. So that's quite interesting from a team that's been promoted. Like you say, Cardiff, completely different animal. Don't have a massive amounts of money. Haven't brought a ton in, and they've got a tough team. They'll kick a few. They'll have a real go under a real tough manager, but it's going to be tough. We do have a Canadian playing there at Cardiff as well, under Junior Hoylett. So He was a big time player for them last year, getting them promoted. Fulham coming through the playoff system, being Villa at Wembley only a few weeks ago, are back there to play Spurs, where Spurs are getting a little frustrated with the new stadium and the delays around that, and they're lucky to keep some of the players, obviously, and have a big season ahead of them. But the stadium situation is definitely something that's hanging over their heads, and Fulham will be happier to go to Wembley than Tottenham nowadays, I think.
Now, Craig, we haven't had a chance to talk about this, but Spurs didn't do an awful lot of business in the offseason. I would argue, look, Spurs was a pretty successful team last year, and there's a little bit of depth there. I don't think as much as you'd like necessarily, but it's weird, because we decry teams that go out and spend £100 million and turn themselves over every year. But then when a team doesn't make moves in the off season, we go, what the hell are they doing? Everybody else is making moves in the off season and they're not doing anything. How do you stand on that with Tottenham?
Well, Spurs are in a different situation. Well, similar to what Arsenal were a few years ago when they moved into the new stadium, where they were financially strapped somewhat and have to really balance their books. So keeping a hold of their players is really important, and keeping them happy in the future is going to be very difficult for them. They're not one of the highest paying teams in the league, and some of those players you would expect would get poached eventually. Winning is a good remedy for everybody, of course. If they can win something with this great young side that had a great presence at the World Cup as well, it'd be terrific for them. But they've got certain things to deal with, and if Pochettino down the road doesn't feel he's getting supported, he could be out the door as well and leave. So there's a bunch of things around Tottenham, but that's primarily why they didn't make any moves, is because they got financial. They're strapped somewhat with this new stadium that's going to be absolutely world-class when they finally move into it.
In conversation with Craig Forrest on the Jeff Blair Show. Man City starts life without Kevin De Bruyne. I think, to me, last year, the best player in the Premiership, certainly the most consistent player in the Premiership, I think Mo Salah, something to say.
I agree.
Best player. How do they – now, look, they've got some depth, obviously. They've got guys like Bernardo Silva. They're certainly not hurting for talent. But, man, De Bruyne is going to be hard to replace, is he not?
He is. And one of the big factors, I think, for other teams, when you look at Liverpool, for instance, they're going to run at full maximum, no issues with health, and have to have Salah scoring goals at the same rate, or at least close to win the league. Or Man City end up having a bunch of injury problems, but they're three deep in every position, and they even look stronger this year until the De Bruyne injury. Now he's out for 3 months, but they've coped adequately well without him in the last couple games, including the Charity Shield match as well, which they look very good in. So it's a big loss for anybody, because he is and was, I agree with you, probably the most consistent player over the season. Salah very, very close to, obviously amazing. So Mahrez makes his move over there too. They got lots of depth, look good, balanced, competitive, strong mentally. I still think they're the team to beat, but only injuries will knock them back, and several of them they would need before I would be thinking that there's a crisis at Man City.
You know, one of the big moves in the offseason, you know, I think maybe the move that has potential to have the biggest impact of any move made is the addition of Alisson to Liverpool. I mean, to me, that was the one thing, that sort of commanding presence was the one thing that was missing. And I think when you have him and Virgil van Dijk back there, you've got a real, there's a real sense of organization. Craig, you played that position. Am I being a little overly dramatic here when I look at a guy like Alisson and saying he could be the difference? He could be the guy that takes Liverpool at least to the point where they can make a legitimate run at Man City?
Yes, he's an outstanding goalkeeper in my eyes, although making moves to other leagues and the pressures that are around that, and he'll feel it. Fairly experienced, you know, good shot stopper, good on the ground. He definitely fits the bill, but so have other goalkeepers that have made the move there as well. Talking about shots percentage, I mean, Mignolet back in, I think, 2011 when he was at Sunderland had the best shot stop percentage. So that's a sort of stat that you have to develop over years before you start looking at that. You can't take a one-off season, although he looks to be the real deal. And if he turns out to be, then they've got themselves somebody that can be the back and be solid, like some of the Liverpool historic greats over the years that have stayed in that position for long periods of time.
The match that we will have on Saturday that will attract a lot of attention, Chelsea and Arsenal, two new managers. Who needs a win here more, do you think, Chelsea or Arsenal?
Wow, that's a really good question. I mean, you know, I like both managers. I really do. Sarri's going to bring some real entertainment to Chelsea. He's not going to be quite as defensive, although we saw success under Conte in 2 years in the FA Cup and the league. It's going to take some time, I think, for Sarri. The only problem is at Chelsea, you don't generally get time. And even when you're successful there, it's sometimes not enough under that ownership regime that has been successful almost in spite of its life sometimes by chopping and changing some of the greater managers. So I like Sarri. He's going to be under pressure, obviously. They got Coutinho coming in the side that he brought from Napoli, who's a great technical player, can pass the ball really well. It'll be interesting how he does against the better sides in the Premier League. Then you have Emery at Arsenal that I think that's a great fit for them, although his style of play is going to be much different than we saw under Wenger, and that might take some time as well to sort things out. They got a tough midfielder under Torreira that comes in, that he's going to be great defensively, deep line guy that they seem to have missed for years. And they'll all be pushing for the top four. I think those two teams will be scrapping for the pieces, fourth or fifth at the end of the day. But both of them will look for time to settle both these teams in under new systems and styles.
You know, reading an interview with Sarri earlier this week, he was talking about N'Golo Kanté and how he wants to kind of use him almost more as a rover. He wants him to be a little more aggressive with the ball offensively. You know, and just something that watching him, I've always kind of wondered why. I mean, I understand why he plays an important defensive role. He's geared to it. We saw what he did with France in the World Cup. But do you think that there's a way of getting him more involved in attack without necessarily taking away from his defensive strengths?
Well, Sarri thinks so, and I think the first game of the season was against Huddersfield, and that's not going to give you a great gauge, although they're energetic and it was away from home. N'Golo Kanté, what a fantastic player we've seen, and he came from basically nowhere a few years ago, ends up at Leicester, wins the title. Moves to Chelsea the year after, wins the title back-to-back. Didn't last year, but then goes in the World Cup and wins the World Cup with France. So he's had a terrific few years, and he's one of those unsung heroes that people don't talk about much in any of the teams he's been in. But, yes, he can be all more offensive. He did score against Huddersfield, but he's not known for that, although he didn't, you know, look, it was a bit of a scuffed goal he put him in that. But it'll be He will get in positions, yes, more offensive, and he'll be asked to do more, and it'll be interesting to see whether he can indeed score 4, 5, 6 goals during the season, because that'd be very welcome, and certainly we know what he can do defensively with his incredible ground that he covers.